Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Today we have a fantastic segment with the first half of the show I'm going to spend with Marty Michelle, who, you know, if you've ever quilted anything, you probably have quilted something that Marty designed. The second half of the show, we're going to have a new editor segment, and the editors from American Patchwork and Quilting are going to be on talking about the quilt sampler issue, which you all know and love and save, and trend setting and making gifts and things like that. So this is a really packed show with information. So let's introduce Marty here, because Marty is not only a designer and a lecturer and a world traveler, but she has designed templates and all kinds of really cool ways to make quilting fun for us. And not only that, Marty has been in the business of quilting for 40 years, which I am just totally impressed. Marty, how are you?
A long time.
And you're so
great.
Young, Marty. You must have started when you were three to be in this business.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes.
I was a child prodigy in quilting.
That's right. A child entrepreneur.
I love that introduction. I want to hear the editor's part. We'll be anxious to hear this interview.
Yeah, it's going to be really good. So when you started your company, did you have any idea it would become a lifelong business for you and your family?
Absolutely not. when we started, I was actually a textiles and clothing and journalism major in college. Mm-hmm. And I was teaching sewing classes in my home, actually, mm-hmm. because the kids were little and in daycare and, you know, kindergarten and all of that. I wanted a little pin money, but I wanted to be home. And it just happened. You're hardly old enough to remember that, but we used to have dresses with waistlines.
Oh, yeah.
And zippers.
Zippers,
set
yes.
in sleeves. Yeah. And my students, I was just playing with patchwork. There were no books. There was nothing. It was right before the bicentennial, and I think magazines began to show antique quilts and things like that. Mm. And I thought, oh, I can do that.
Yeah.
I didn't have any idea how little I knew about making a quilt. But I was playing with it, and my students said, oh, please, let's do that. That looks like a lot more fun. And
sleeves. A lot easier than sleeves.
Doesn't have to look good on you when you're done.
Right, right.
It just has to be able to lay under it, right?
Yeah.
So
right.
The second complication was that was the era of polyester double knits.
Oh, lovely.
And so it was hard to find 100% cotton fabric to quilt with.
Wow.
So I started shopping everywhere for fabric. Oh, dear. Somebody had to do it. Mm-hmm. And then I put them together into kits. Mm-hmm. for my students, and then they wanted more, and their friends wanted more, and all of a sudden, we had a patchwork kit company.
Ah.
And, yeah, who would have known?
Who would have known? Now, step back, I think, in time, just a bit before that, because you told me that Meredith is the big mother company of American Patchwork and Quilting and the Family Magazines, plus Better Homes and Gardens and a ton of magazines. And they're in Des Moines, Iowa. And you actually visited the Meredith offices.
Meredith has had a big influence on my life. Mm-hmm. I was raised right outside Des Moines, probably 20 minutes from the home office of Meredith, but on a farm. Mm-hmm. And our 4-H had a career day for high school seniors. Mm-hmm. And one of the places we visited, it was the big state 4-H group, was Meredith. And we went through the test kitchens. Oh, my gosh, that looked so fabulous.
Yeah.
And all of the room setting places where they took photographs, and we even went through the plant because at that time they actually printed in Des Moines. They don't mm-hmm. now, but they did then. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, this is what I want to do.
Yeah.
I want to I want to write and work for a magazine. Anyway, I really feel like it influenced me a lot that I ended up at Iowa State in a home ec journalism, we used to call it home ec, and textiles and clothing double major. So it
was,
I really always felt like it influenced me, and I thought, oh, someday I want to work there. Well, I got married, right, actually, our senior year in college, and started moving with my husband, and so Meredith was out of the question. But I did end up doing books for Meredith, and another division of theirs called Sedgwood, and also, you may not know it, but I had the first quilt on the cover. I was the first cover girl quilt on American Patchwork and Quilting.
I didn't know that.
Very
exciting.
Yeah. So, and I've had a lot of projects. You know, they had the 10th anniversary recently. And I know they told me then, I think it's 35 or 40 quilts that I've had in the magazine. So I have a real, real close feeling for American Patchwork and Quilting. It is without a doubt my favorite magazine on the quilt scene. But, oh, I'm probably not supposed to say that.
Oh,
I'm
that's
supposed
okay.
To be impartial.
We'll let you say that.
So, of course, as long as my folks were living, I was back fairly often, and then I worked closely. I helped judge for the samplers one time, and I've done several things for the magazine over the years. So it's real nice to have this interview. Thanks for including me, Pat.
Oh, well, we're excited to have you on here. I mean, you know, Marty, there might be two people out there that haven't heard of you that are listening. And so for those two people... we'll wave to them. So now you're going to get up to speed. Describe a little bit about your style of quilts, because you know everybody who sort of is in the business of quilting, you end up a bit with a style. You know, people can look at a quilt and say that's a Pat quilt or that's a Marty quilt.
Yeah.
You know, what do you feel your style is?
I would say people don't look at my quilts and say that. But they look at my quilts and they say, I could make that, because that's my niche. My niche is to help beginning and intermediate quilters become more skilled technically. I love accuracy. I love patchwork and geometry. And so I try to bring to that side of really traditional patchwork more than anything else. But I try to do it with a flair, I try to take tiny little steps outside of the box that will help people go, oh, I can do that. I design, people can make. I mean, that's my skill, I believe, is to make things that are attractive enough that people want to make them. And they learn a little bit as they do it. I try to stick those learning tricks in.
disguise them. You disguise them, right?
That's the perfect. That's the perfect word. We don't want to say you're teaching,
right?
But I love teaching, and so my goal is to make people feel confident that they can do whatever they want to do.
Now you have gone on also in your business, Marty, to be a product developer, and you know, one of your main products that you have designed and work with and is your templates for making a lot of different quilts. And I was going to say your templates get very high marks from everybody I talk to that likes to use templates. You know, they're like, yes, they're easy to use. So tell us a little bit about why you like template work.
Well, I'll tell you, this is what's really interesting. I was there when the rotary cutter was invented. And when we went from cardboard templates to cut everything with strips from a ruler.
Yeah.
And I was one of those, if I wasn't a queen of strip techniques, I was certainly a lady in waiting.
Yes.
One of my biggest selling books was Quilting for People Who Don't Have Time to Quilt. And it's all strip techniques. Mm-hmm. And if I'm going to make an Irish chain quilt, by gosh, I'm going to use those strip techniques that I love. But I wasn't going to make anything if I couldn't cut strips first. And mm-hmm. I got bored with that. Mm-hmm. And the template idea actually was brought to me by a quilter in Florida, Jane Gruchez. She had retired early, wanted to quilt, didn't like the dog ears that you get on quick cutting triangles and quarter square triangles and stuff. Didn't like how they don't fit. Mm-hmm. And she had done CAD work in her job on the computer, design work. And so she played with these corners and she brought them to me and asked me if I would develop this. And I said, absolutely not. I don't use templates. I would never use templates.
Famous last words, Marty.
Right. Eat those words again and again.
Yeah.
And then she showed me the corners, and I went, mm-hmm. oh, cool.
Yeah.
And then I cut fabric and sewed with, you know, the pieces mm-hmm. that I cut with the templates, and I went, oh, my gosh. Mm-hmm. I cannot believe that just truing up, just in cutting off those corners ahead of time makes such a difference. Mm-hmm. So all of our templates are size specific and have engineered corners, so there are no dog ears. Mm-hmm. We cut from strips. We don't. Mm-hmm. I wish that I had another word besides template. Because
right.
we don't trace around and cut with
yeah.
scissors or anything like that. We still cut strips. It's just that the templates do the second cut or the cut mm-hmm. across the strips and are there for the engineered corner. And they're exact. You know, when you take you make a square and you cut it in half on the diagonal, you maybe have a perfect 45-degree line. Mm-hmm. And you maybe have a 46 degree or 47 degree, you know, and then
yeah, right.
they aren't square when you sew them together. So it's just like, oh my, it's too bad when we got acrylic tools and rotary cutting that we didn't do templates then and save people a lot of bad habits. But
right.
anyway, you know, I've had one of my friends said to me, Marty, what do you like about swimming upstream? First, you had to convince everybody to not use templates, but to use those rulers. We were very involved in that with our first company. Mm-hmm. And now you're saying, no, 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 don't use those rulers for everything. Templates are so much more accurate.
Well, Marty, we're going to take a little break here. And when
Absolutely.
We come back, we're going to talk about some of your projects in American Patchwork and Quilting. So everybody,
Great.
Come right back after the break.
Do you have a recent project to share? Post a photo of your latest quilt project in our show and tell section at allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the spin, twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, hello, Luscious by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Whatever your style, whatever your skill, you'll find everything you need to start sewing today at PatternSpot.com, the downloadable pattern marketplace. It's a one-stop shop with hundreds of designers and thousands of patterns all online under one virtual roof. Go to PatternSpot.com and sign up for our email list to get 20% off your next purchase. From quilts, home decor, and wearables to fabric crafts and accessories, PatternSpot.com is your one-stop pattern shop.
Need a project you can start and finish in an evening, a weekend, or a couple of weeks? Pick up a copy of All Small, on sale now, featuring projects created with Moda Fabrics. We've assembled a collection of projects that are little in size, but big on style, Find All Small at your local quilt shop or newsstand today.
Win $10,000 cash to stock your stash. Enter today to win the ultimate $10,000 crafting giveaway at allpeoplequilt.com/craft giveaway.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm talking with Marty Michelle. And Marty, you have got the most gorgeous quilt coming out in American Patchwork and Quilting called Summer Bliss.
Isn't that a pretty quilt? And
it
I think
is.
You and I have both had a chance to see the photograph. Mm. They do such a great job with that magazine on all of their photography.
Yeah, everybody's going to want to make this. It's in the August issue, which will be on sale in June, which is perfect for a summer quilt. But the great thing, these are great big blocks. I love it.
Isn't that amazing? We had in our early templates, this is one of our newest template sets. It is based on a 5-inch square and all the most common shapes that fit inside that. A half square triangle, a quarter square triangle, the square that sits on point, the diagonals, and so on. Mm-hmm. So we had always had 3 and 4 inch because mm-hmm. those are very basic shapes in that ever popular 12-inch block.
Right.
But remember I said a little while ago, I'd like to step outside of the box just a mm-hmm. little. Do we have to do 12-inch blocks
yeah.
every day? So these are 20-inch blocks because they are, the designs are 4x4 grid, you know, mm-hmm. the 4x4 squares across the block.
Right.
5-inch basic square, 20 inches.
Yeah.
And then there are 2 alternating blocks, which is one of my favorite patchwork design techniques,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
is to alternate blocks. And you get whole new designs and so on.
Oh. You're very good at that, Marty. You're very good at being able to look at different blocks and you color them so that you have this whole new look. And it takes a while of looking at that to figure out where are the blocks. You know, if you don't see it broken out into the diagram later, just the quilt itself. You're very good at that.
Thank you for that compliment because that's the way it's supposed to work. So it's really great when it happens. Now, how about the blue and yellow combination?
Oh,
did
yeah.
Did you know that's
oh,
my
yeah.
fabric line?
Is that one your fabric line? It's beautiful.
Yeah. It's
just
fabric,
gorgeous.
Wild Roses 2 with Maywood Studio.
Oh, beautiful, Marty. It's just gorgeous. Very, very
yeah.
summery. Navies and medium blues and that celery green and sort of a butter yellow. It's just
yep.
gorgeous.
A lot
I may
of
have
white.
To make that one.
Yep. So, no, I'm very excited with the way it looks. That big rose border mm-hmm. on it. Very nice.
Pretty,
I loved
pretty,
it.
Pretty. Now, Marty has some free patterns on allpeoplequilt.com. So if you go out to the website and you just put Marty in the search box, you'll come up with some. There's one called North Woods, and we have one, the Bridal Bouquet, which is also sort of called a nosegay, isn't it? That's that.
Right.
That design, which is one of my all-time
right.
favorites. So
we still have a kit for that one, too.
Oh, well, there
it's
you go.
It's a wild rose fabric. Just love it. It's got a swag border.
Right, it does.
I didn't realize it was on the website.
Well,
great.
There's a picture of it. No, there's some directions, too. Yeah, so... yeah, they do put some of them out there. You know, I don't know how long they stay, so if people want to check it out, they should get out there quick to allpeoplequilt.com. So, Marty, let's talk a little bit about travel, because I tell you, you and I are on the International Quilt Association Board, which is IQA, which works with the big show in Houston. And, you know, whenever we do things by email, it's like, oh, yeah, Marty's like writing us, I'm in Sweden right now. You know, I'm in Europe right now. She's never home. So how often
every
do you
year.
Travel?
Every year I keep saying I'm going to travel less. And then, you know, something comes up like, wouldn't you like to come to Norway? And I go, oh, yeah I would.
Yeah.
I just got back from Norway and Denmark. And
wonderful.
It was great. The Norwegian National Meeting, that was pretty fun. Anyway, I travel. The last few years, I've looked back at the end of the year, and in spite of the fact that I said I'm not going to go so often, mm-hmm. almost every year there are about 26 trips. Mm. And I don't like to do the kind of teaching where, you know, I know some gals want 4 or 5 guilds in a row, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. No, I want to go out and come back because I have a staff. You know, I have people who work for me that I have to keep up with, and I have to keep right. things for them. And mm-hmm. so most of those trips are three and four day.
Come mm-hmm. home. You've hit almost all the states, right?
I have. You know, you get curious about that. So I counted it out one time, and only North Dakota and Montana that I haven't taught in. And I've been invited there. Mm-hmm. I've always had conflicts. So mm-hmm. I have those two states to hit. And I think it's 20 or 21 countries, and quite a few of them multiple times. So
yeah.
I do enjoy that. It's fun. You know, quilters all around the world are terrific, and it's always fun. Even though I don't get to see the country as much, I get to
right.
see the country through those people's eyes mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. how they live and mm-hmm. so on. So it's really a fun experience. I'm sure you would say the same thing.
It is.
I mean, you're gone as much.
Yeah, you absorb it even if you don't get to do a lot.
And when you're home, you're on everything, on the internet, mm-hmm. on the this, on the that. I tried to blog. I should be able to do that.
Well, you had to be just even crazier than me now. Come on, Marty. You can step it up here. Yes. Yeah, so on these trips, on your let's pick your international, you know, over the years, mm-hmm. is there something really memorable you can share with us, you know, that happened that you still remember? You still go, wow, you know, either I got to see that, got to meet that, got to do that.
Oh, I don't think I could pick out just one. I know that's a lame answer, but now
share just one. So.
I love, you know, in a way it's almost like when I'm home, I appreciate it more. Mm-hmm. It sounds silly, but one of those things where you'll see the ad that has a glimpse of Sydney Harbor, the mm-hmm. Tokyo Dome, the this, mm-hmm. the that, 10 other things. I go, oh my gosh. I've been there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And just because I quilt, oh
yeah.
my gosh, how lucky am I? You
yeah.
know, an Iowa farm girl and get to see the world just because I can quilt and talk.
We quilt and talk. That's right. Quilt really well and talk really well. So,
but, you know, I think one of the most memorable to me, you know, our daughter Stacy is also a quilting entrepreneur
mm-hmm.
in her
yeah.
own business,
yeah.
and she has a much larger presence in Japan than I. It's really fun. She had to put up with being Marty and Richard's daughter for a long time. Because, you know, Richard, my husband, and I have been in business together this whole time.
Right, right.
And we're still married.
Yeah. All right.
So
you're traveling, Marty. No, I'm just joking.
Right. So anyway, I went to Japan with mm-hmm. Stacy, her first couple of trips.
Mm-hmm.
And we had some really wonderful experiences there. And I think because there's, you know, the language barrier and so on, some of the things were a little more surprising that happened to mm-hmm. us in Japan. But I haven't ever been someplace I didn't enjoy.
Yeah, that's great.
And
you're such a positive person that, you know, you're going to look at things, even if it's a bit, you know, your bump, you know, because it's all international
right.
travel and things happen. Don't you just look at it as like part of the adventure?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, if you can't tap dance to the music, you shouldn't get up in front of the crowd, right?
So that's pretty exciting that you have a family business, not just with your husband. I work with my husband also, but that Stacy has gone out and started her own business. It's exciting.
Right. Our son left the quilting world, and he's a computer engineer in Seattle. But other than that, he still appreciates what we do.
Now, tell me a little bit. I have a friend named Sue. My friend Sue met you in Houston, and she was so impressed. I guess there was a place in Houston during the big show at festival where a lot of the teachers give little demos, and I guess it was
right
at the end of the session, and most people were leaving, and they happened upon your table, and Sue with her sister-in-law Nan, and they said that you stopped what you were doing and showed them about your smashing sashings, which she thought was just the coolest thing. Can you tell us what that is?
I can. This, when you have sashing strips between the blocks, mm-hmm. and there's always an intersection, right? Because you've got mm-hmm. multiple crossing. And at that intersection, a lot of times we put a contrasting square or something, but our sashing star ruler is a ruler that makes it very easy to center this ruler on either 2, 3, or 4-inch strips and cut away at the end of the sashing that is going to be closest to that square, right?
Mm-hmm.
Cut away triangles, either 45-degree little short ones or the long peaky and spike. Do you know that?
Oh, okay. Yeah, like the long, skinny triangles.
Right, right. Or you can even mix them up. Mm-hmm. And if then we include the piece to cut the triangles to fit in. Mm-hmm. Well, when all those get sewn together mm-hmm. With the cornerstone and these triangles at the end of the sashing strips, you get stars between Ooh. All the blocks. It's mm-hmm. a terrific finish for almost any quilt, and doesn't even need to be a quilt. We show it with just big squares of fabric. Hmm. So the sashing is the patchwork, and the big squares of fabric are the quilt.
That sounds really cool. Now, can they find that on your website? What would they go under to find that if somebody's interested?
You know, wouldn't it be nice if I knew the product number? But
yeah.
It's the Sashing Star Ruler. And, that's all they would have to look for.
Yeah, I just saw it. I just found it. It's under the specialty rulers. And Marty's website is from Marty, MARTI.com. So from Marty.com.
Right. So there are two M's, which is hard for people to FROM MARTI.
Right.
Yeah.
Good, good, good. So we have about 30 seconds. Tell me what's coming up new for you, Marty.
Well, new, we've done a lot of one-patch templates. We've got 3 out now. The mm-hmm. tessellating windmill is brand new. Oh, and I've just brought out the Marty's Choice batting tape.
I had
started promoting using fusible interfacing back in 2004 when I wrote mm-hmm. Machine Quilting in Sections. And okay. I would just tell people to go buy it at the fabric store. But tape is so much more convenient, and so we'll be showing that. And
good, Marty, this has been
templates.
Awesome.
Thank you very much. Thanks for including me.
Yes, I'm so glad to have you on to talk.
It's always fun to talk to you and hear your energy. It inspires us all.
Oh, thank you. Well, I hope to see you pretty soon, any day, probably.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Maybe tomorrow. Who knows?
No. Who knows? Okay.
Next week, maybe. Thanks for calling.
Okay. We're going to take a little break. This is Pat Sloan with American Patchwork and Quilting. We'll be right back.
Looking for fresh, simple, and fun projects and ideas? Check out the current issue of Quilts & More magazine at your local quilt shop or on newsstands.
At Stash Books, we work to inspire you to use fabric to create a beautiful handmade lifestyle. We're passionate about inspirational designs, accurate instructions, and finding authors that you want to know and learn from. Visit StashBooks.com for a behind-the-scenes look at this season's new releases, including Modern Minimal by Elisa Haight Carlton, Modern Patchwork by Elizabeth Hartman, and much more. Sign up for our email list at StashBooks.com and get 20% off your next order.
Welcome back to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. And what a show it is. Strutting down the runway with a fizzle and pop is Pezzi Print by American Jane. Now it's Kate Spain showcasing waterfalls of color and good fortune. Chloe's Closet is here with a peachy keen idea, combining two classic favorites, flannel and 30s prints. Next, let's take a walk in the woods with Anila Hoy and discover enchanting storybook characters. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
We're listening to you. Comment on today's show and tell us your ideas for future shows. Visit the contact page on our website, allpeoplequilt.com. Now, back to the show. Here's Pat.
Well, welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. You know, our editors are out there in Des Moines, Iowa, and they just have so much information and so many tips that they get together every so often and put together little segments for the radio show. So what we have right now is Jennifer Keltner and Jody Sanders, and they're going to talk about quilting with friends, like sewing bees, retreats, mystery quilts. So let's listen in.
Quilting can be a very solitary pursuit, and I know I always enjoy being in my sewing room by myself and stitching away, but it's always more fun, I think, when you're quilting with friends. So, Jody, let's talk today about how we incorporate other people into our quilting life and how we make sure that we can get together with friends. My number one way is I mark off a week on my calendar every November to spend time sewing with my friends at a retreat. And we go away to a location that has lots and lots of outlets in the room and tables and great lighting. We all bring our machines and any project we want to work on. And it is absolutely the most blissful week of the year for me. The way that we do it is you cook once for the group, and we have about a dozen women in our group. And so then you cook one meal for the group, and you don't have to cook the rest of the time. It is, I always say, 22 hours of sewing fun and a two-hour nap to get revved up to sew again. How about you, Jody?
You know, you mentioned food and each of you taking a meal to do. It seems like when we are getting together as a quilting group, there somehow is some good food involved as well. And one of my favorite things to do is an annual retreat that I do with a group of ladies who are former officers in a state guild that I was involved in. And we've been doing it about 18 years now. And it's the same weekend in February, and so we always know to mark it off on our calendar. And we get together, and it's former officers and current officers of a guild, and we swap ideas and help the new people that are coming in.
I think the thing that's interesting about both of those ideas that we shared is you do have to put it on your calendar, and you do have to make a commitment, and having a consistent time of the year when you quilt with friends is super important, because otherwise life gets away. I have lots of other friends for other reasons that I think, oh, we'll get together, let's do that sometime, and we never get it on the calendar. So for sure, make sure that you put it on your calendar and don't let anything violate that weekend or week.
Go ahead, Jody.
Yeah, I think that's really important to get it on your calendar. And then you have that time every year that, you know, as you're scheduling other activities that your family or other groups are involved in, you can say, well, no, I know I have this retreat that I'm going to be involved in. So it's wonderful to get together with friends. Sometimes I only see these gals once a year. And but it's a really important thing that I always make sure and get on my calendar. I think one of the other things that I love being involved in guilds, and I'm involved in some state guilds and some national guilds and also some local guilds. I think they all have different benefits, and one of my favorite things is show and tell. And I think local guilds are really good about making sure there's a time somewhere in the meeting, no matter what your guild is and no matter what the setup of the guild is, there's always time for show and tell. And I think that's one of my most favorite things to do.
I love show and tell also. It's always fun to see what people make. And I always think it's interesting that sometimes before people get up to show their quilt, I'll look at, you know, the person, and I'll try to imagine, like, what kind of quilting I think they do. Are they an appliqué? here? Are they a piecer? Are they going to be bright, modern, traditional? And I'm always surprised when they unfurl that quilt and I think, wow, I never would have thought of them doing that. So it is fun to kind of see what your expectation is and then what people do.
And I think, you know, part of it is a guild can mean so many different things to people. I mean, you can be a guild and be, you know, a handful of people that get together once a month to share ideas and have an educational opportunity, or you can be a large group, you know, that's 300 or 400 members. So it's really what you want to make of it and what do you want your focus to be. Maybe you're all appliqueers and that's what your guild is or your small group. So there's wonderful opportunities out there, I think. And you know what? If you don't have an opportunity, you be the creator.
Right.
You be the one that starts the guild and ask a few friends or put the word out there that you have a particular interest. And I would be very surprised that within a few months, if you didn't have a handful of ladies that also had that common interest that wanted to get together and share ideas and tips.
I agree. I think one of the most interesting starting points for guilds, I think, is those that focus on a charity event. And a lot of times I'll meet guilds that formed because the members all wanted to create quilts, whether they were working on a quilt together, like a sampler quilt, as a fundraiser for a particular event in their community, or they wanted to make quilts to serve a particular charity in their community, like giving firemen quilts to give to people who were displaced from their homes or to police officers who were going in to help children in crisis situations. So I think charity groups are a great way to begin a guild or to begin a group of common friends that want to get together to sew for a cause.
And, you know, if you're interested in a particular charity and you don't have a local group, there are lots of internet swaps and groups out there as well. So if your particular interest is a charity, or maybe, again, it's a particular kind of applique, or it's a particular kind of piecing, or a modern quilt guild that you want to be involved with, there's lots of opportunities out there for internet swaps and groups. And it's a very interesting way to meet people. I know a lot of groups that are even international, and you've got quilting is very popular in Australia right now, and so you have lots of groups that have international participants as well as people that are maybe only a couple hundred miles from you.
Right. It really is a game changer, and I think it's fun. Sometimes at quilt shows around the country, I'll see groups of women or men and women who will get together because they've met in an internet quilt group, and then they get together to see each other for the first time.
For the very first time,
in person, which is neat. And as much as the internet has changed and really modernized the idea of a quilt guild, I think we can't also forget about the very traditional quilting bee or small groups. And if you happen to live in an area that there is a really big or high member count guild, many of those big groups, so that you can get connected personally with some of its members, have small quilting bees or small groups that, again, focus on a particular technique or a time of day that's most convenient or a time in the month that works best for all of its small group members. And a lot of times those events take place in different people's homes or in a church meeting space or things like that. And it is a great way for people who like to learn new techniques or really get connected with somebody who's maybe a specialist in a particular technique they want to try to learn, to get into that small group and get involved that way.
And I think, you know, with a lot of those small groups, they've been doing it for, you know, dozens of years together as well. And it's kind of neat to see, along with a new group, some of those experienced ladies as well. And as you get newer members into those groups, I see a lot of those as being very intergenerational as well.
Absolutely.
One of the things that you can do, perhaps you're a newer sewer and, you know, you don't have a lot of fabrics, but you kind of like that scrappy-looking quilting, is I've heard of cutting parties. And that's where people will come together and they'll all bring their scraps or their fabrics and cut some common shapes, whether it's 2.5-inch strips or 5-inch squares. And everybody will cut all of their scraps and then you share them with each other. And that way you get a much scrappier look. You get more fabrics. You know, you can bring several half yards and cut them up that day. And that's a really fun way to get a great mix of fabrics if you really don't have that big of a stash.
That is an awesome idea. Fabric swaps are another idea that I've done with some of my friends or seen different guilds promote across the country. And that really entails maybe not cutting the things into a shape, but maybe you bring fat quarters. And you might have a couple of yards of a particular green and you cut it into fat quarters or fat eighths. And then you go to the party and you swap with your friends. So maybe you don't want to have one leaf green on your applique quilt. You want 8 different greens to really make it pop. And so 1 month you'd choose a color and a size of fabric, and you'd exchange those fabrics. And again, it's a great way to build up your fabric stash. Not that I need help building my fabric stash. I seem to have a pretty good start at that. But even then, sometimes you, I think, get fabrics from other people in the exchange that you might have passed over. You might be attracted to the dark colors or to the more saturated textures and tone on tones, and you'll get a piece of fabric in an exchange that you'll think, well, I might not have picked that one off the bolt, but then you incorporate it in your quilt and you're like, that's exactly what I needed. I never would have picked that.
It's a wonderful way to just add a different kind of fabric. Like you said, you know, we oftentimes get stuck in a rut, and we have a style that we get known for that we typically buy, and it's a wonderful way to expand the number of fabrics that you have. Have you ever done a mystery quilt? Is that something you've ever done?
I have done one.
And, you know, it's really fun because it's something, I think some of us, we want to know what the end product is before we start.
That's why I've done one.
But if you really want to challenge yourself, mystery quilts are really kind of interesting. They're most of the time available online, but there are some shops that offer them as well. And mystery quilt just involves in getting part of the instructions at different times. So you don't really know what the quilt looks like when you start out. You'll be given some cutting instructions, and maybe you'll see the first block or the first border or something that you're supposed to be working on, different kinds of cutting pieces. But mystery quilts are really fun, and that's another way to meet some interesting people as well.
Absolutely. I think I'm too much of a control freak to do the mystery quilt. That's why it's not my favorite thing. But what I do love to do is a block exchange with friends. And this can be one of two things. Either you can choose a particular block. I've done a 9-patch block exchange, and I did it with a group of like 22 quilters. And you made 22 of one 9-patch block, which was super easy to do by strip piecing it. And then when you went to the exchange, you came home with 21 different 9-patch blocks to add to the one that you kept of your own and could put it together that way. The other thing you can do is more of a sampler quilt style where you make, you know, however many 9-patch blocks you're in charge of, and then your friends come and somebody makes an Ohio Star and somebody else makes a log cabin, and you're all using the same fabric palette, but you can mix it up that way too.
You know, one of the things that we mentioned earlier was about show and tell, and about how much both of us really love that inspiration of show and tell and seeing other people's take on different patterns. And an internet way of doing that online, if you aren't around a bunch of people that do have those kinds of show and tell opportunities, is Flickr groups. And that's where people post photographs of their quilts online, and they're divided into different categories. If you have a specific interest or maybe a specific kind of fabric or specific block, and Flickr groups are wonderful for inspiration and people kind of sharing that common interest that they have in common types of fabric or patterns.
Well, let's wrap it up with one other great way to quilt with friends, and that's the round robin. And not unlike the mystery quilt, the round robin generally starts with a fabric palette, and you either start in the center of the quilt and work your way around, or you give people a collection of fabric and they add to it in a prescribed fashion. And that's another way. You have to trust your friends and trust the folks you're working with if you're a control freak like me. And you can make that as big or as small a group as you need. But regardless, Jody, thanks for spending time today to talk about ways we can do more quilting with friends. It's always fun to have a quilting buddy. And just like back when I was a brownie, you know, the buddy system works. So enjoy your quilting and have fun and get involved with your friends to do more of it.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
We're back at the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. You can just feel the excitement. Minnick and Simpson are back with Prairie Paisley 2, a collection with the rich, layered look of a well-loved fabric stash. Here comes Sandy Gervais getting sassy with this bright and cheerful line. Up next, Deb Strain's Tend the Earth is bringing the peaceful feeling of a garden to the runway. Ooh la la, it's Bunny Hill Designs and Baby's Going to Paris. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Did you know you can find your favorite books from C&T Publishing available as ebooks at ctpub.com? From new releases to classics, there are hundreds of titles to choose from. Ebooks are instant and immediate. No more waiting around for a printed book to be delivered. They take up less space and are easily portable. Plus, ebooks use very few natural resources. Look for the ebook sale button at ctpub.com to save 20% on your ebook purchase. Start browsing now at ctpub.com.
The 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge continues through 2012, and we're taking the show on the road. Come sew with Jennifer Keltner, Executive Editor of American Patchwork and Quilting, and other members of our editorial staff on June 22nd at AccuQuilt at their new office in Omaha, Nebraska. Stop by and make a pillowcase, make a difference.
See what other quilters are up to on the American Patchwork and Quilting page on Facebook. Simply go to facebook.com and search for APQ Magazine.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We have another great segment from Jennifer Keltner and Jody Sanders, our editors at American Patchwork and Quilting. They have gone through and found what are their favorite quilting tools and notions, and they're going to get ready to share it with you right now.
Sewing tools, tried and true tools in your sewing room. We spend a lot of time talking about this in the office, don't we, Jody?
We do. We love our gadgets and tools.
It's always fun to hear from designers and quilt makers who are working with what their go-to item is, what they can't live without in their sewing room. And it's funny, as many thousands of tools as are probably available on the market, there are a few tools that show up time and time again. So those are the tools we're going to share with you today, things that we've heard both from quilt makers and designers, and some that we have in our own sewing rooms as well.
Yeah, one of my favorite things is I have over 40 eyes, as I like to say. I love the Dusk needle threader, and Clover is the actual one that I have. It's produced by Clover, but it's wonderful because it can sit on a desk. It's very portable, and it just threads those needles so easily. There's also a built-in cutter, which is great because you don't have to have a scissor to cut that thread once you get your needle threaded. But I love my Dusk needle threader.
Far and away, when we ask designers what their go-to tool is, that Clover needle threader, Jody, is absolutely the number one thing we get time and time again.
And you know, I have the brown one, and they've come out with new colors now that are lilac and green and pink, and I keep hoping my brown one's going to wear out so I can get one of those new great colors. But so far, that brown one is hanging on.
No such luck. Well, talking about over 40-year-old eyes, I have a pair of those too. And so my go-to item that I just absolutely couldn't be without is Otlite. And I use one next to my sewing chair. I have one above my sewing machine. I have one in nearly every corner of my house. Plus, I have a little travel one that I take with me to classes, and I like the one that folds down so that it's very compact in my sewing kit when I'm going out. But having an Otlite, that true daylight, I can see so much better. And I think good lighting is so critical if you're trying to do any kind of sewing, whether it's by machine or by hand. Good lighting is just essential.
Absolutely. Another one of my favorite tools that I like and that we do see coming up time and time again with quilt makers and designers is the bias tape maker. And the wonderful thing about that is it comes in several sizes. So I think there's four or five sizes that are available in terms of width. And those bias tape makers are great for not only making bindings, but also for making stems. So if you're doing applique and you need to have a bias stem because it's got a curve on it and you need to have that bias, those bias tape makers are wonderful for doing that.
And they come in so many great sizes, so that's essential. All right, one more thing about these over 40-year-old eyes that I have, and I think many, many quilt makers, I really didn't think about this in my early quilting days, and that is the kind of ruler that you're using, the acrylic ruler that you use with your rotary cutter and mat. And one of my favorites is the Olfa Frosted Ruler. It's got a little bit of a coating on the underside of it, and I don't know the science of why the frosting kind of shading does it, But it makes it so much easier for me when I'm trying to line up those lines to rotary cut my pieces. It really has changed my cutting life. And I think I've said before, cutting isn't my favorite part of the process in doing quilts. But that frosted ruler, I can really get right on the line I need to be on every time. And whether or not that particular brand is your favorite ruler, the thing I think people do need to keep in mind is when you're choosing a ruler for a project, the color of the lines on your ruler does make a difference. Depending on if you're working with light colored fabrics or dark colored fabrics, sometimes the yellow lines are easier to see. Sometimes it's the black lines. I've also seen rulers that have red lines. So, you know, experiment with it. We always tell people it's a good idea to have one ruler for a project so that you're consistent in the pieces that you're cutting. But, you know, if you have an arsenal of several rulers, and I'm always a fan of having more, if you have an arsenal of rulers, do experiment with different rulers on the fabrics you're using and find the one that you can see the best, because it'll help improve your accuracy.
Well, I'm kind of known in the office for liking to do small things. I make small blocks and small quilts. And when I do that, what I also do is scale down the tools that I use. So, for example, the OmniGrip 3.5-inch ruler by OmniGrid is probably my most often used ruler. In addition to that, I use a 5.5 by 8.5-inch mat. And if you think about an 8.5 by 11-inch piece of paper and you would fold it in half, that's about the size of that 5.5 by 8.5-inch mat. And so it's scaled down, it's smaller. And then I also use the 28-millimeter rotary cutter. And that typically is probably the one we think of as being the small. You know, the medium rotary cutter is probably the one people are most familiar with. But the 28-millimeter is that smaller rotary cutter. And so when you're making smaller blocks and making smaller quilts, scale down those tools. You don't need the great big 12.5-inch ruler when you're making 4-inch blocks.
That's a great idea. I'm going to shift gears here and talk about something that I said cutting isn't my favorite part, but what I do love is beautiful scissors. And I think every quilter deserves to treat herself to some luscious scissors. And for a long time, I had Ginger scissors that were my absolute favorite. Until more recently, I found at a quilt shop that I was visiting and doing my research, as I like to say, these Dovo scissors. And they, I believe, are German-made scissors. And they are absolutely exquisite. And if you do any kind of handwork where you're using hand scissors to do cutting, often I think as quilters, we get a lot of pairs of scissors in our sewing room that all couldn't cut butter because we like to use them down to the nub. But my Dovo scissors come in their own little case, and I feel like a surgeon when I pull those things out because they are super sharp and just the greatest pair of scissors. They feel great in my hand. They look awesome. So if you don't have an awesome pair of scissors that are just for your quilting projects, you should get some.
Another cutting implement that I really like a lot is the Quick Change Rotary Cutter from Olfa. And that's kind of that medium size that I talked about earlier. We say technically it's a 45 millimeter rotary cutter, but it's wonderful because it has an easy way to change that blade. And I don't know about you, but oftentimes when I'm changing the blade, which number one, I wait way too long to change the blade. When I finally change it, I think, okay, the nut, the screw, the bolt, where does this go? I forgot. And with the Quick Change Rotary Cutter, all you have to do is turn it over and you pull the lever back and that blade comes off automatically. Everything comes in order. You switch out the blade. You put the new one on and you're not worried about which parts and pieces go back in order. The other thing I love about it is that because the blade can open on either side, you can use it for right-handed or left-handed cutting. And I do that very often. I'm typically left-handed, but I do rotary cut with both hands. So I love the fact that I can use that cutter on either side. And that's just a wonderful, wonderful tool that I have.
You're such a show-off, right and left-handed cutting. Wow. Okay, let's talk a little bit about irons, because we do talk to designers quite a bit about whether they are to steam or not to steam. That is the question. And it seems like people who love to steam, I'm in that number, are steam junkies. And then we have other people who don't steam at all. But for those of you who are like me, who are the steam junkies, I absolutely cannot quilt without steam. So what that means is I constantly spend a lot of time refilling the iron tank here in the office where we have, you know, your basic hand iron to use. But at home, I have the Cadillac of all irons, in my opinion. And it's the second iron I've had in this genre, and they're tank irons. And I've had a Rowenta in the past that was a great iron, and now I have a reliable iron. It's called the Iron Maven, and I am in love with this iron because it is not your typical pressure cap fill iron where you had the tank that you filled up and put a lot of fluid in, and then you had to wait till it cooled off to refill it, which I could iron for a long time with that, but I always seemed to run out of water at the time I needed it the most. So with this Iron Maven, it has a removable tank. So in the middle of all this great steaming, I can just pop that out, refill it, and put it back on. And if you love steam, you really should treat yourself to an awesome steam iron, because you can have steam that goes on and on and on with not a lot of refilling. It's awesome.
You know, one of the things, I've mentioned a couple rotary cutters that I love. I actually love to do cutting. And Jennifer, I know that's not your favorite thing to do. So I know the new die cutting machines that have come out are something that are very appealing to you. And I love the die cutting machines. I think in the last 3 or 4 years in particular, they've just really exploded on the market. And with that, quilters are saying, oh, I want this shape, or I want this width of strip that I want to be able to cut. And it's just amazing to me the number of dies that are currently available, and they just continue to come out with more and more innovations in the die cutting systems.
And I think with that, too, what I've seen in the dies is that they are much more judicious about how the fabric is cut, so you're wasting less fabric. And I love that in many cases it cuts the dog ears off of triangles and things like that, so piecing them together after die cutting them is much easier, and I do appreciate that.
And it's a great thing to use with scraps, too. You know, if you have a scrap basket of quilt or fabrics that you've been gathering, you can put those in your die cutting machine and cut lots of wonderful shapes and sizes in no time.
Right. A couple of things that I love to have at my disposal are ideas that I got from designer Sue Spargo, who does a lot with wool and hand sewing. And I have quite a collection of thread that I enjoy working with. And since I travel a fair amount, I like to have a handwork project on hand with me. But I was taking, you know, 15, 20 spools of wool thread with me wherever I go. And that can become cumbersome in terms of space and weight. So one of the ideas that Sue Spargo shared is to use that rubber ring. It's called a bobbin saver. And it's just sort of a rubber ring. It generally comes in bright colors, red, blue, things like that. And I wind a bobbin's worth of my wool thread onto a bobbin and put it in the bobbin saver, so I can take 30 or 45 different colors with me. And I just need a little bit for the hand project that I'm sewing on, but I don't have to make choices before I leave home as to what I want to have. The other thing I love that Sue Spargo recommended was the Milliner's number one or size one needle. And it's a really long needle that has a shaft that's equal length or equal width around from the base to the point. So if you like to make bullion knots, it is the needle to end all needles for that. It's so much easier, kind of like power tools. If you have the right tool, you can get the job done. That's how I feel about the Milliner size one needle.
And sometimes it's just that little tip or trick that somebody shows you, for example, that you learned from Sue, that just made making those bullion knots so much easier in stitches.
Exactly.
One of the things that I love is having the sew line glue stick pen available. I've been doing a lot of work with paper piecing and hexagons lately, and the sew line glue stick, I've actually been using that on paper pieces and the fabric to make those little hexagons before I put the pieces together, and it's been wonderful.
That's great. Those pre-cut templates make all the difference when you're doing that. The last thing I'll add today as we wrap up is, check out our new Complete Guide to Quilting Volume 2. You can find the details about it at allpeoplequilt.com. Volume 2 has updates of the latest tools and techniques and tips, as well as how-to photos for every step of the quilt-making process. It's a must-have for every quilter in her sewing room. You can also check a slideshow on our website at allpeoplequilt.com. Check out the slideshow there of all the tools we've talked about today. You can see what they look like and find out more information. I hope you really take a look at these tools and figure out how to add them to your sewing supply list. They're awesome.
Remember to visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques. Thanks for listening to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.